Nobody ever said you had to be a rocket scientist to work in sports radio. But either way, it's usually Thursday. But there was a little something going on last night, so we're flexible. It's now a Friday. It's crunch time, and still we get our view from the north. Yo, 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 getting it done for the Athletic. Now back from that wild Seahawk home win last night against the Rams. Keep up with all he's got going on Twitter. Use the handle at Aaron J. Fentress. Mr. Fentress, happy Friday. How's it going?
It's going all right, man. This is my little rest day in between two games. Head down to Eugene tomorrow, check out the Ducks against Cal. Last night was kind of wild, so I'm, you know, coming down from that.
Yeah, you know, every once in a while, it's nice to just say, forget the job, forget objectivity, forget analysis, and just say, how much of an entertaining, great football game was that last night?
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was good stuff. And that's now three, at least, great games they've played against each other, dating back to the two close ones last year. So when these two teams get together, man, they're pretty evenly matched. The Rams have had the upper hand, obviously, last year, but Seattle eked one out last night. They got a little lucky, though. You know, that roughing the passer call in that game was a little weak. And then, of course, you don't expect the Rams kicker to miss that field goal. That guy's money, so I was surprised he missed that.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, I was just talking about it. Oddly enough, he's missed three this year now between 40 and 49 yards, all on the road. And you know one thing? Sometimes the worst thing a kicker can do is get in his own head. So I'd make a note of that down the road.
Yeah, no doubt, because he was so money last year. He had some killer field goals against the Saints. I mean, my goodness, I thought it was going to be almost automatic, but you're right, he's been struggling.
I don't like to get too far ahead, and it's first week of October, and it's not a matter of where he ranks. But would it be accurate to say right now in the NFL – you can't be more valuable to your team than Russell Wilson is to the Seahawks.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, they had all the reason in the world to slide back on much more than they have since the Legion of Boom days. And the fact that, you know, their lone non-playoff season was a 9-7 year 2 years ago. They made it last year. They're on track to make it this year. With all the changes around the offensive line overhaul, Lynch is gone. The Legion of Boom is gone. You know, Averill's gone, Bennett's gone, et cetera, et cetera. It's like the one constant, though, has been the growth and improvement of Russell Wilson, who's better now than he was during the Super Bowl years when he was just a little kid. So he's been able to keep them relevant despite all the changes around him. So if they can keep building this roster around him, they could get to the point where they could contend again. Maybe it's this year, maybe not, but they're heading the right direction, I believe.
You know, when you draft a guy high, especially first or second round, expectations are big. And we talked about it during the offseason with Baldwin gone. They needed a reliable guy to make those tough catches, basically scare the crap out of defenses. How much are we liking DK Metcalf so far, five games into his NFL career?
Yeah, he's making an impact. And, you know, now the criticism of him was that he's pretty limited. Like, he can run a go, he can run a quick screen, he can run a hitch. And that's mostly what they're using him for, you know? I mean, they're not doing much with him other than run deep, you know, run a hitch or run the quick screen. But when you got someone that big and that fast, if you're doing other things well and you get that play action and you get a situation where, you know, you get one-on-one with him down the middle of the field like they did last night, that's a touchdown. DB is going to be able to run with him, and those that can run with him are not going to be as big as him or have the vertical he has. That's a matchup he's going to win. So I think what Seattle has done a very good job of is not saying, okay, we want you to do all these complex things that great receivers do. They're saying, okay, we know you're limited right now. You're going to be maturing and growing over the next few years as a receiver, but right now you know what you do well? You're big and you're fast. And that plays well in the NFL, surprisingly, right? We're going to put you in a position to go downfield, be big and fast, and you have one of the more accurate deep ball throwers in the league who's going to put him in a position to succeed, and so far it's worked out well.
So we hear when Wilson steps to the line and he audibles to B and F, that's the big and fast play?
Exactly. So be big and fast. I'll get you the right.
Talk with Aaron Fentress of The Athletic. You mentioned it in passing. We can't gloss over this. First and 10 on the Ram 40, the go-ahead touchdown drive. Wilson is flushed, throws the ball away. Man, they flag Clay Matthews for roughing the passer. I mean, Aikman's a quarterback. He was like, no, I didn't get it. At live action, then after seeing the replay, I know what you said on Twitter, but I want you to kind of share your reaction to that.
Well, it's just sad. Like, there's so many rules in place already to protect the quarterback, and I get it, okay? It makes sense with the marketing of the game. You don't want your star quarterback getting hurt unnecessarily. But, you know, we already have a rule that's been around for, you know, a couple of decades where a quarterback can throw it away out of bounds to no one. Whereas back in the olden times, as you and I remember, that was intentional grounding. Well, now as long as you get, you know, somewhere down the field a little bit, it's incomplete and you're safe. So we give them that out. And then we're also saying that if you're a linebacker or a pass rusher and you're close enough to touch him as he's throwing it, we're going to flag you as well. So what are you supposed to do? Like, there's this gray area where, like, you're just screwed no matter what. You just don't touch him. But what if there had been a receiver there and he had pushed him as he threw it and they completed it? Would that have been a penalty? No. So it's almost like the refs are saying, the defender should have known he was just throwing it away anyway, so don't touch him. And that's not on the defender to know. And he didn't pick him up and throw him. He didn't body slam him. He just gave him a shove. Like, that's just unfair.
Yeah, well, what bothers me the most is they've made it very clear. So you could imagine during the preseason, the coaches, especially the defensive coaches, are teaching their guys, you can't do this, you can't do that. They don't do it, and it's still a penalty. It's like they're following the edict to the letter of the law.
But the law keeps changing, and it's like fluid. It's just, I don't know. I feel bad for those guys because, you know, that's their livelihood, getting after the quarterback, and we're taking away, you know, the aspect of just decking them. You know, I was thinking about this because I've been going through some old 85 Bears stuff. I've been in a nostalgia mode. You know, I wonder how many roughing the passing quarterbacks roughing the passer calls the 85 Bears would have gotten. Like 250?
Yeah, it would have been per series. They would have been the first team ever to get a roughing per series. You know, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought because I want to get back to that ridiculous stick'em hands interception that bounced off Gerald Everett by Tedrick Thompson. And you wrote in your post-game piece for The Athletic, he's an interesting guy. It's his third year. This has been kind of an uneven season, but A, that was a big moment, and like Pete Carroll said, maybe one he needed to get him on track.
Yeah, you know, he had that really bad play against the Bengals where he missed time to jump, and then John Ross caught it and got a big touchdown before half. And he's been up and down a little bit. But, you know, one, he's kind of under a microscope because he's helping to replace Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, right? So that's already tough. And then so every time he makes any kind of mistake, it's magnified. But he's a young guy, fourth-round pick out of Colorado. He's still growing, and that's what Carroll said. He said, look, you know, this guy's learning as he's going. He's maturing. He's getting better. And I think sometimes the public or media look at a young guy and they make mistakes and like, oh, my God, can they ever do it? Whereas I think the coaches expect some of those mistakes to happen because it's all part of the maturation process of a young safety. And so from the way Carroll made it sound like he's fine. Like, he's progressing on the right track to get to where he needs to be. And so, yeah, everyone could go, oh, my God, he redeemed himself and blah, blah, blah. But I think internally they feel like this is a good young player who made a good young play. It's what they expect from him.
A couple final thoughts for Aaron Fentress of The Athletic. Last week I spoke with Anthony Heron of the Pac-12 Network, who does post-game work for the Bears. And we were talking, and he was like, you know, despite the fact that, you know, they lost, they only allowed 10 points to the Packers. They won the last three. You mentioned, and I'm not saying they're the 85 Bears or the 76 Steelers, but, man, sometimes it looks like they just control games. They shut out the Vikings for 57 minutes. How are you liking this version of the Monsters of the Midway?
I'm loving the defense, obviously, but I don't know if I can take another year where the defense is nailed and the quarterback just kills you. They just need an above-average quarterback play. That's all they do. That's all they need. They can win the Super Bowl. But they're getting below-average quarterback play. just like when McMahon was injured back in the day, just like with Sexy Rexy, '06-'07, and just like last year. It's like I feel like they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to get in the playoff game, and they're going to score 13 points against someone like the Saints. And no matter how good the defense is, Breeze and Kamara are going to find a way to score 17, and they're going to lose. They're going to go, oh, my God, what about the quarterback that can't? I just can't go through that again, Tanner. I don't know if my heart can take it, man. Like, I'm a little worried.
Well, that's why you're breaking out the old tapes, so just to keep the even keel. All right, how about one Oregon thought? Since
this has happened.
I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, I'm going into a time warp to the past to pretend like what's happening isn't happening.
All right. Well, I got to ask you a duck thought because you'll be down here. At certain points of the season, you need to kind of take a breath, drink in what's happened. Obviously, the Auburn loss right now is as quality as any loss in the country. And we know the caliber of opponents since has left much to be desired. Now they're getting Schooler back and Pittman. Hansen's going to be back at center. So logical to feel pretty good about where they sit right now, this point in October?
Yeah, I mean, I think coming in, if you after four games, you're 3-1, you would be extremely happy. Now, we all didn't really know where Stanford was, right? I mean, I think there was the idea that Stanford might be down, but Stanford has plugged in before and replaced, you know, stars and been really good. So you never really knew till you saw it, and we see now they're not that good. So that win loses a little bit of juice, but they won. And the Auburn game, yes, they had a chance to win that, but they lost to a good team in a neutral place. They blew out the non-conference guys. So 3-1, I don't think you could ask for much better than that. They got a tough run ahead, but now the Cal game doesn't seem like that big a deal because they lost their quarterback. So this is a should win. And so I think you have to feel like you're in position to win the North because you'll win tomorrow. If you lose tomorrow, then it's like, you got no business thinking about it anyway. So you win tomorrow, you're in position to win the North. That's all you can ask for your Duck fans, to be in position when you play Washington in a couple weeks.
All righty. Well, now knowing that you'll be down tomorrow, I tell folks he's doing it for The Athletic on Twitter at Aaron J. Fentress, and I officially dub tomorrow Hot Take Saturday.
Hot Take Saturday. Sounds good.
All right. Hey, travel safe. Look forward to chatting you up tomorrow, Aaron. Always appreciate your time. All right, take it easy.